different, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, and I am here to help you stop dieting and start losing weight without ever counting a single calorie, carb, or fat gram. It really is possible to change your entire relationship to food without dieting and be free for good, free of the obsession, free of the counting calories, carbs, fat grams, free of thinking about food all the time. I'm here to help you do that. It really is possible. One day you can say free at last, like Martin Luther King or something. If you want to join me in the studio, today, the number here is 818-602-4929. Again, 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what is weighing on you. So, oh, by the way, I just want to give a shout out to Soyed Studios in New York. For those of you who are watching on Instagram Live and Facebook Live, I am wearing this super cool jacket that I've gotten many compliments on. And it is from Soyed Studios New York. They're having a really cool show on November 28th in Soho. So if you're going to be in New York in a few weeks, check it out. They're on Instagram at Soyed Studios New York, and I'm also going to be tagging them in my Instagram later. I love this line because they have such a great sensibility, and they want to not just make beautiful clothes and cool clothes, but they really want to change the world. And so those are my kind of people. So Soyed Studios New York, thank you. I love my jacket. Okay, so one of the things I was talking about last week was that if you're not having enough fun in your life, you may be using food for fun, for celebration, for comfort, for just whatever. If you don't have enough sweetness in your life, you know, you may be more vulnerable to using food for that sweetness. But the good thing is that once you start having more fun in your life, the opposite is true. You're less likely to use food for fun. So I'm going to give you some tips on having fun. Now, you would think you don't need tips for having fun, but so many of us, we have no problem having fun when we're kids, and then we grow up, and we start working, and we have responsibilities, and the alarm's going off at 6 in the morning, and suddenly everything's about go, 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 never enough time, you're always missing something. It just, and then, you know, at the end of the day, it's rinse, repeat. And somewhere along the lines, we lose sight of having fun. And that's why sometimes just taking a time for yourself to eat is like a little vacation. And it shouldn't be. The more fun that you're having, the less you're going to do that. So we have to relearn as adults how to have fun. So I'm going to give you some tips. Okay, so first of all, remember that having fun does not have to be expensive. Lots of people think fun is spending a lot of money. And if your idea of fun is going to Disneyland or going on a vacation or going retail, having some retail therapy, one of my favorites, that does involve money. But fun doesn't have to be hard on your bank account. In fact, some of the best things in life are free. You don't have to go on a pricey vacation or buy a bunch of stuff to have fun. Usually the most fun we have is actually being in the moment with people we care about. And that costs nothing. So go to the park, go to the beach, go to the museum, visit some friends. You know what to do. Just make the time, which is the next important part of having fun. Make the time. There is always time to have fun, even though We often get so busy that we think we don't have time. So I don't care how busy your life is, how stressful it is, how many demands there are on your life and your time. You can make the time. You can. And also, fun is found in like those little moments. If you go outside and you play catch with your kid for 15 minutes, that could feel really fun. It doesn't have to be like this 2 hour stretch in which you're going to have fun. You don't have to carve out half your day. Just block out 20 minutes, half an hour to do something you enjoy. Another tip to have fun is be spontaneous. If you are a type A planner like me, I need to take my own advice on this. So if you're a type A planner like me, keep in mind that the most fun can be found in spontaneous, unplanned moments. So let things happen naturally. Let yourself experience spur-of-the-moment trips. Be spontaneous when someone says, hey, you want to go to the movies, or you want to go away for the weekend, or you want to go to the zoo, or you want to go to Santa Barbara, you want to go somewhere, wherever you are. Do it. Hey, you want to come over for dinner? We're having a barbecue. Do it. Do the things that are fun. Work can wait. Be in the present moment. Another important thing when it comes to having fun, don't wait for the perfect time to have fun. Lots of fun moments happen when things just unexpectedly happen, like allow yourself to be imperfect and enjoy the imperfections of life. Be goofy. be perfectly imperfect, because that's who we are as humans. And you're human, right? Unless you're some alien from some other planet that's listening to me, which in which case I'd love to meet you. Come to the studio. Love to meet a real alien. So telling yourself, oh, well, I'll have fun when I get to that perfect weight, when I finish this project, when I meet someone, when I leave my partner, when, it doesn't work. Forget the when, then trap. Have fun now. Remember, there is no time like the present. Also, and this kind of relates to what I was saying, fun doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be, 4th of July, fireworks and parades and parties and big stuff. Find fun in the small moments. So fun is what you make of it. It doesn't have to be spectacular. And sometimes it's just, 5 minutes of watching a comedy show, even something that makes you laugh. Just 5 minutes of laughing is fun. You will feel better. And when you feel better, guess what? You are not going to use food to feel better. You are not going to eat to cope, because you already feel better. You're having fun. Okay. Next tip to having fun is to be playful. So having fun is an action. Being playful is an attitude. So I want to bring up the a quote from the writer Samuel Butler. He said, "Man, unlike the animal, has never learned that the sole purpose of life is to enjoy it." Well, I'm not sure it's the sole purpose of life, but it's certainly one of the important aspects of life. We have to enjoy life. And, my 170-pound Great Dane, Zane, really knows how to enjoy life. He just goes from couch to couch, person to person. He's totally in the moment. He is the happiest creature on earth, I'm telling you. So one way to enjoy life, to be in the moment, is this. Step away from the computer. Step away from the computer. Step away from the screen. Spend more time learning from kids. Kids really know how to be playful. And you should hang out with some kids, whether they're your own or, maybe you have friends with kids. Don't do it to teach them something about life. Do it to learn something for yourself. Watch how they approach and look at life. My 11-year-old daughter just turned 11. I can't believe it. She's always like, she does things and she pretends that she's talking to her YouTubers. Now, she does not have a YouTube channel, but in her mind, in her pretend world, she has a YouTube channel, and she has so much fun talking to these YouTube people as she explains things. It's super cute. She's playful. She's fun. She's in her imaginary world. And somewhere along the lines, when we're adults, we lose that. We forget that. We've got to get it back. We've got to be playful. Kids have fun. They investigate the world. They do experiments. They're not afraid to be weird. My daughter is not being like, oh, what are people going to think if they're seeing me talk to my imaginary YouTubers? She's like, Mom, I'm talking to my YouTubers. So if you hear me talking to myself, that's what's going on. I'm like, okay. She's totally confident about it and not embarrassed and not worried about what other people are thinking. She wants to talk to her imaginary YouTubers, so she's enjoying it. Find what is playful and fun for you without worrying about what other people are thinking. And you know, when you're playing, you are not stressed out. And when you are not stressed out, you are not stress eating. So being playful is so, so, so important. Now, I also want to make a distinction between being childlike, which is getting in touch with your playful side, getting in touch with that kind of interested, fun attitude about the world, curiosity, not worrying about things. That's being childlike, I guess, as opposed to being childish. And having a childlike attitude is not the same as being childish. Being childish is being immature, being foolish, being petulant, being, I could make a political statement right now, but I'm going to withhold my thoughts. I think y'all know what I mean. So being playful is not about acting like a child. It's connecting with the qualities that children bring into their life as they grow, as they develop, and as they have those fun moments. Another thing you could do is play with a pet. If you have a dog or a cat or know someone who has a dog, or I don't know, I think a dog, cats, I'm gonna get hate from cat people, but some cats that have personalities like dogs, they will play with you. In my experience, cats are not so playful, but dogs are just love bugs. They're just giant furry bundles of love. And whether you're walking a dog or tossing a ball to that dog or just playing around with it, just being silly with your dog, it's fun. It brings joy into your life. You just experience this like great unconditional regard and you regress to that place of, oh, I'm just having fun with my dog. And when you feel good because you're enjoying yourself, you're not going to eat. Okay. Hi, caller, that you're on with Dr. Nina.
Hi, Dr. Nina. It's Nicole. How are you?
Hi, Nicole. You are becoming quite the regular caller. It's good to hear from you.
Thanks. Well, I love calling, and you always have amazing answers. So I have another question today. I know that I wanted to ask about the keto diet. I feel like it's attracting a lot of attention and there's like so much buzz about it. And I don't know, I kind of tried it for a few days and I don't know, the first day it was like, I felt like, okay, maybe it's working. But then, I don't know, it's like hard to eat so much fat and butter and steak and I don't know, like all this stuff. So I don't really know if it works and if it's good for you. So I just kind of wanted to get your take on the ketogenic approach.
Okay. This is a great question. And it is the question I get the most when it comes to diets or fad diets and all that. You're actually the third person in the last week who's asked me about the keto diet. Yes. And most people are like, I think I know what you're going to say, but what about this? So here's the thing. Like the keto diet is a diet, and ultimately all diets fail because they are unsustainable. all diets fail, right? And that's because of psychological and physiological reasons, but all diets fail eventually. In fact, there's a lot of evidence that diets cause weight gain in the long run. And that is information the $60 billion diet industry does not want you to know, Nicole. They want you to they want you to be on a diet, a new diet every year. But
they make but money that way.
That's right. And if they knew that, there are actually decades worth of research that shows dieting causes weight gain in the long run. But specifically about keto...
Right.
Okay, so so for those of you who have been on another planet for a while and aren't familiar with the keto diet, I'm just going to explain what it is. So basically, it involves cutting way back on carbs. I think it's something like 50 grams a day, something like that. And that is designed to help your body get into what's called a state of ketosis, in which... the idea is that in ketosis, your body burns fat rather than sugar for energy. So people who are like into the keto diet are like, yeah, keto makes me a fat burning machine, and you know, all of this stuff. But there are actually no long-term studies. There's no definitive studies that confirm this. The keto diet limits the types of food you can have. Entire food groups are eliminated entirely, like you were saying. It's hard to live on, what were you saying, like red meat and butter? Like, bleh. It's hard to live on red meat and butter and some vegetables. And when you're not eating grains, beans, fruits, vegetables, you know, you're not getting important minerals and vitamins, right, and other nutrients. So it can cause potentially nutritional deficiencies. It's not a balanced diet. Also, you mentioned fat.
What if you're taking vitamins and stuff? What if you're taking vitamins to kind of supplement the deficiency of minerals and stuff from fruit?
Well, I'll tell you what my doctor says. My doctor has told me that new studies show that vitamins from food are kind of metabolized differently than vitamins that you take in a capsule, and that there are also that the best way to get vitamins is actually through food and not through supplements. And
that makes sense.
Yeah, and he is saying he recommends not to take any additional vitamins. He said that there's some new studies out that say that actually taking supplements can be harmful, not helpful. So So that's part of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, our bodies are made to get nutrients from a wide variety of kinds of foods. So if 70% of your caloric intake is from fat, that's just not good. Most guidelines say that we should be getting like 30% of our calories from fat and good fats.
Right.
So when you're having red meat and sort of, not that you are, but a lot of people say, oh, I'm on keto, I'm going to have some salami and bacon.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't think that's really good for your heart. It's unhealthy.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of trying to do it the healthy way. Like I was eating fish, I was eating turkey, chicken. I kind of tried not to eat so much of the red meat, and I can't really do butter because I'm scared of butter. Like, I don't know. I know I shouldn't be scared of anything, but I guess, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. So many people do it and it works for them.
But
so,
here's why it works. Here's why it works. I was talking this a few months ago, Dr. Adrienne Udeem, who has a clinic in Beverly Hills and treats obesity and specializes in that. She was on the show. Yeah. She's on every few months. And she got the same question about keto. And she said that she thinks that why people lose weight is that because they're having all that fat makes you feel fuller, and therefore you're having fewer calories, and that's why you lose weight.
That makes sense. Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. No, I was gonna say because that makes sense, because I know you're they say you're supposed to do intermittent fasting. I want to ask you about that as well. So with keto, like, you're supposed to eat like a high fat meal so that it sustains you for 16 hours of fasting. It's like 16 hours of fasting and then 8 hours of actual eating. So I guess, yeah, maybe you just end up consuming less calories.
Exactly.
In a day.
And here's the thing, and here's the psychological piece of it. Don't you have other things to think about? Like,
yes.
In your day? It's the problem with all these diets is that they all work, but you can't stay on these diets. You can't not stay on a restrictive diet. So the problem is with these diets is they switch your focus to what you're eating instead of why. And that's why people who've had various bariatric surgeries, you know, they lose 100, 150, 200 more pounds. And then they find the weight coming back up because they dealt with it in one way, physiologically, but they never dealt with why they were eating. You know, what's eating
right,
at
them. Right,
they
never changed. Well, that makes sense. And then what do you think about the intermittent fasting? Do you think that's just like a gimmick to like just eat intuitively, create a lifestyle, and just like stop thinking about all this?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes. Amen, Nicole. You have other things to be thinking about. You know, I mean, I think it's just a giant distraction from yourself, and all of these diets distract you from you, right? It's like, what should I eat rather than what am I hungry for? Ideally, if you're not emotional or stress eating, you know, what is it my body needs right now?
Yeah. Can I ask you one more question?
Of course.
Okay. So yesterday I was working on a photo shoot for my new company and I didn't really get a chance to eat during the day. So after the shoot was over at like 5 p.m., like normally I like to eat throughout the day, like small healthy meals. I didn't get to eat till like 5. And so I ate with the people who were involved. And then I had a date that evening and I really wasn't hungry, but we were going to a restaurant. And so I suggested like, let's go for a walk instead. But like he hadn't had dinner, so whatever. We ended up going to a restaurant and I wasn't hungry, so I couldn't like intuitively like feel hungry for like something specific, like a fish or whatever. So I ended up ordering a linguine with clams and I ate the whole thing.
Well,
and
okay, so
yeah.
Is this someone you've been on a date before with?
No, it was a first date.
It was a first date. Were you nervous? What do you think about this guy?
No, I wasn't nervous.
Do you not like him?
I wasn't nervous at all.
Do you like him?
I don't know. He's okay.
Okay.
He's okay. But, like, I just felt so guilt. I tried not to feel guilty about eating the pasta because I'm like, if I feel guilty, because you told me, remember, you're like, don't feel guilty about eating the peanut butter or whatever.
Right.
Like, let yourself have a few chocolates on Halloween, like have a few, enjoy it, don't feel guilty, you won't end up eating too many of them. So I'm like, okay, you know what, I ate the pasta, I like won't feel guilty about it. But then today I'm like, I'm gonna starve myself till like 3 or 4,
which, by the way, here's why you should not do that, Nicole. If you starve yourself to 3 or 4, your body is going to, your metabolism is going to go, we're not getting food. Somehow your metabolism is plural. I don't know how that happened, but we're not getting food. So we're going to slow down. And then what happens is your metabolism slows down. And then when you do eat, first of all, you're going to be starving. So you're going to eat more because you're so hungry.
Yeah.
And secondly, now your metabolism might be slower. So it's easier. So it's more efficient. So it's easier to gain weight. That's, you know, that's why dieting ultimately fails people, because it messes your metabolism up. So I would be more interested in what was going on with you on that date that maybe you displaced some guilt about linguine and clams from something else. I mean, maybe, you know, if you weren't feeling guilty about linguine and clams, what would you be feeling guilty about?
I don't know. I don't feel like it was so, like, why I ordered the linguine and clams, or...
Well, maybe, but...
I shouldn't... I don't know. I'm confused.
So
I didn't really feel, I don't know. I wasn't really having an emotion. I was kind of just like, I'm not hungry. What am I craving? I'm like, I'm not intuitively hungry, but I can't order nothing. But in retrospect, I should have just ordered a salad. And if I didn't crave to eat the salad, just leave it in front of me. Right?
Right. So, so maybe there's something that was going on out of your awareness that made you decide to not order a salad, but order that and then have the whole thing. I mean, maybe there was something about the date or the guy or the situation or something. Because if
you're right.
If you're focused on linguine, you're not focused on him.
Yeah, you're right. You know what it is? I just figured it out. You just helped me figure it out. It's that I feel deprived. Like, I don't eat linguine often enough, so I'm like, this is my chance.
Ah,
I'm
okay.
Not hungry. Let me order linguine and eat it all.
All right. So
like, why not? That's what it is.
That's
it's again the deprivation.
The deprivation.
Thing.
That's right. Like with the Greek restaurant that you called in a few weeks ago. It was like, if you're deprived, when you get a chance to have the thing that you're deprived of, you are going to want it. And then you think, oh, I'm not going to have it after today. So therefore, I better have more of it. Like you're banking linguine, right? Oh, I'm going to have more of it now because now it's about deprivation in the future.
Right. No, that makes exact sense. Okay, that sheds light that I have a deprivation issue and I should stop depriving myself of stuff.
Stop depriving yourself.
It's working against me.
And stop dieting.
Stop dieting. So what should I eat for lunch? A salad.
Or sometimes you want to have a salad. Sometimes you want to have a sandwich. You have to start you have to start trusting yourself and not being so afraid of food. Because
I'm afraid of food.
Yeah, I hear that. And then you deprive yourself, and then when you have a chance to have it, you have too much of it, and then you deprive yourself, which makes you starving eventually, and the cycle just repeats.
Right.
But if you trust yourself, I'm just going to see what I'm hungry for. I'm going to trust myself.
Right.
Sometimes it will be a salad, but it has to come from inside as opposed to some psychological or cultural idea of, I should be having this.
Right. No, you're so right. So it's about being more intuitive and listening to your body and just like being more in tune with myself and listening to what my body wants and giving it to myself and not like fighting with myself and not being scared of it.
Exactly. And also, you can ask yourself, do I want something sweet, something salty, something like what flavor am I wanting? You know, what often restrictive diets are so bland that people just want flavor. And then when you get linguine or clams or Greek food, it's like, I want it all. So just ask yourself.
The pasta
What?
I was going to say the pasta was delicious, but it wasn't, like, I like it al dente, and it was mushy. I was almost like, is this even worth the calories? I should have just stopped eating it. Anyways, it's done. I can't, like, feel guilty about it still.
And when you get hungry before 3 o'clock today, go and have something and ask yourself what it is that your body is needing. So you want to get into a position of wanting to nurture your body rather than fight with it.
Okay. I love that.
Yay.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nina. Was so helpful, as always.
I'm so glad.
So great. Thank you.
Let me know how it goes.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
We so often learn to just, instead of wanting to nurture our bodies, take care of our bodies, what are we hungry for? What do we want? Like we do it naturally as little kids until we start having our parents be like, ooh, if you do this, I'll give you a cookie. And then we learn to associate food with reward as opposed to cookies should not be a reward. They should just be dessert or a snack sometimes. But children, little children especially, are very intuitive. And, you know, if you say, I used to do this with my kids all the time, like, do you want, you know, an orange or do you want ice cream? Most of the time, actually, they would choose the orange because they could have the ice cream every time and they were like, yeah, I don't want it. I want the orange, because they were in tune with how they feel. That may seem impossible for you, but you can train yourself to relate to yourself that way. It may be impossible from your perspective now. It is not. As the great Nelson Mandela once said, it is always impossible until it is done. And he should know. Okay, so we were talking about ways to have fun, because when you're having fun, you're not using food for fun. And dogs are such a source of fun. I love my dog. I love my dog so much. He makes me so happy. If you don't know my dog, he is, Zane is a deaf, partially sighted Great Dane rescue dog that we've had in our lives for 3 years. He's 4 years old. I post pictures of him on Instagram all the time. Check him out. He's adorable. And if you're thinking about getting a little furry member of your family, please consider a rescue dog. They are the best, and you don't have to potty train them. Bonus. Okay, so more things. How to have fun. Play with dog. Dance. Dancing is fun. And you know what? Dancing is fun. If you don't want to go take salsa lessons or something, just put on some music and dance around in your bathroom. Like, you know, so many of us do. Believe me, you're not the only person dancing alone in your bedroom or bathroom, just, you know, pretending to be on stage. Yes, it happens. And it's fun. It's silly. It's goofy. It's fun. You got to let loose. You got to have fun, 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 fun. Okay, I have a bunch of more tips for being more playful. Daydream, reflect, decompress. Give yourself some time to do that. See what makes you laugh. Like we have mental filters, right? So if we have the idea of, oh, the day is going to be so hard. I hate my boss. I hate my coworkers. Everything's a challenge. I'm overstating it. Okay. Then you know what's going to happen? You're going to find evidence for what you're looking for. You don't actively know you're seeking evidence, but every time your boss is horrible or your coworkers are annoying, you're going to be like, yes, see, life is hard. I need a cookie. But if you say, you know what, my boss is kind of a pain and sometimes my coworkers drive me crazy, but overall life is good, it's a beautiful day, I have things to look forward to, whatever, then you're gonna look upon those and take those in and feel better. Because your mind is listening to you. When you're like, oh, you're gonna feel depressed, bad. And you're gonna want to pick me up. What better pick me up than a candy bar or something to eat? So the way that you think about yourself and your life and your experience of the day affects what you're gonna eat. If you're like, you know what? I'm gonna look at what's good today. I'm gonna look at those fun moments. I'm gonna look at the next time someone makes me laugh or giggle, or just the next silly thing that I think of or that someone says or whatever, or that my kid says or that my dog says or that my partner says or whatever. Then you're going to have more fun. Also, try new things. If normally you say no, say yes. Like, if you have that attitude again, like, oh, wait, I am waiting to lose weight before I do that fun thing. And you say no when people invite you to do something fun. No, I can't do that. Like, I can't take salsa lessons until I lose at least 30 pounds. You know what? Go to the salsa lesson. Have fun. Expand your horizons. And just overall, the more that you cultivate kind of a happy, hopeful attitude, this is not to say that you are dismissing the bad stuff. This is not the positive thinking kind of thing, which tends to be dismissive. Like, the bad stuff doesn't matter. I'm going to think good thoughts. No, that doesn't help. But if you're like, yes, certain things about life really suck, but certain things about life are fabulous and I love them and I'm going to focus on that. Guess what? You're going to feel better. When you feel better, you're not going to use food to feel better or escape or for comfort or anything else. Okay, if you would like to join me today, again, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4255. 4929. 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what's on your mind, what's weighing on you, what's eating at you. All right, here is a question from Adam. He says, I want to eat to live instead of living to eat. How can I stop eating for enjoyment and start thinking about food simply as a way to meet nutritional requirements? Oh, wait. Hold that thought. I have a caller, and I believe I know who it is. Hi, Nick.
Hi.
I now recognize your number. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. A couple of things. Nicole, you know, we all go through that, and one thing I just want to say, that you got to eat something in the afternoon so you don't eat a lot of dinner. And that's been my, not that I'm skinny bones here, but if I starve myself, I lose. And
yes.
And I wanted to say that to Nicole, and she had quite a story.
Yes, so I appreciate what you're saying. I mean, you both for physiological and psychological reasons, right? It's good to eat something, I think, every few hours, and that you keep your blood sugars level, you don't get too hungry, and then you don't end up like binging, which then makes you feel bad about yourself and shame and all of that. So that's very good advice, Nick. Eating something in the afternoon, or just making sure you don't go too long without eating, is
right.
Good.
The other thing, do something that's fun. You know, it's kind of difficult for me. I mean, my fun is maybe watching a good TV program, watch a lot of movies, this or that. I don't know if that's considered fun.
Yeah.
But
is it fun for you to watch the movies?
Oh, yeah, I love it. I love it. Some of the series that they have this year, I tape them and I watch them. Yeah, I enjoy it. I look forward to it. So I don't know. Maybe that's something that's exciting. But I enjoy doing that. And it's just something. I don't look at it as enjoying it or not, but I guess when you talk about it like this, it is enjoying it. And the third thing is I started to walk. Okay, not a lot.
Awesome. Oh, wait. That deserves this. Oh, yeah. Applause. Stadium applause.
Yeah. Yay! And, you know, it's funny because other times in my life, I exercised and got involved in walking and years ago and so on. But it reminded me that when... This is a far-fetched thing here. But when I was walking in the mornings, I liked it. I loved it. I looked forward to it. It was something I wanted to do and look forward to, just like the TV programs I look forward to. I'd like to get in a place where I can walk and consider that a fun thing.
Nick,
because that's good for me.
Yes, it is. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about maybe... You were bored when you were walking. We talked about getting Audible and listening to books or something so that you're more entertained while you're walking. Were you able to do that?
Yeah.
I mean, is that what helped?
Well, not the book, but I put music. I've been walking to music, and that I like that.
Okay.
You know, I love music, and I can get to, you know, so many good things, Motown music, oldies for me, you know.
Oh, Motown's are classic. Motown is classic. I love Motown too.
Yeah, that's right. Me too. Especially, I was born in Detroit, so I mean, it's in my blood. So that's what I'm looking to do, to have a good time. I'd really like to want to walk. It really would be, because I really need it. My body needs it. My mind needs it. And it's just, it's difficult. You get older and you get a little lazy, and it's just a terrible feeling.
Well, you just used the word lazy.
Not doing anything.
Well, you just used the word lazy, and I want to challenge that for a second, because when you call yourself lazy, then you feel bad. When you feel bad, what happens?
Eat.
That's right. So watch the way that you talk about yourself. And that might seem like a very kind of offhand thing to say, oh, you know, you get lazy, but it's not, it's sort of a, it's a negative way to put it. Another way to put it is, walking is boring. I haven't quite found, you know, the thing that makes walking like a really fun experience, but I'm working on it, as opposed to I'm lazy. I'm lazy is not a fair assessment of why you're not walking.
Okay. I still feel it though, you know? I still feel the being lazy, not doing it, and then beating myself up.
Yes,
and I know I'll,
and that's the problem, right? Because when you beat yourself up and you're mean to yourself and you're being hard on yourself, you feel bad. When you feel bad, there's food to make you feel better. So if you,
yeah,
if
it goes right to the freezer to my ice cream.
And what is ice cream associated with in the food mood formula?
Comfort.
That's right. So you won't need to comfort yourself if you're saying things to yourself like, okay, I really know that I should go out walking, but I don't want to go. But let me look at what's keeping me from wanting to go other than calling myself lazy. I don't like going out and feeling bored. I don't like, you know, maybe that my path where I'm walking. Maybe I need to find a nicer place to walk. Or, you know, who knows? When you're curious and you're saying, what is it that's keeping me from doing this thing that I want to do? You are more likely to find the answer. So what is it other than laziness that's keeping you stuck? What might you think about, for example? Maybe some people are afraid to be alone with their thoughts because then they're going to have thoughts they don't want to have. What about that?
Yeah, that hits home. I can't get into it. I mean, yeah, of course. I think when I do that and I think about things that are going on in my life that aren't where I want to be, and definitely that adds, that's what adds this whole thing together, the negative.
Okay, so yeah. It's not laziness. It's avoidance of something painful.
Yes, that's a better way of putting it, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's more accurate and it's not so shameful. It's not so shaming.
Yeah. Okay. Have a wonderful day.
So, you too, but Nick, I just want to leave you with this. So, get the Audible app so you can listen, because when you're listening to a book, you're not thinking. When you're listening to music, you think, right? But when you're listening to a book, you're just listening to the book.
Yeah, that is true.
And whatever it is that's going on in your life that you don't want to think about, remember, 6 months from now, 3 months from now, a year from now, you'll be past it. Whatever it is, it will be resolved, most likely.
No.
So keep some hope. That's true of most
things.
Thank
you.
You're
welcome. Thank you. And kiss your dog for me.
I certainly will.
Okay.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See, the way we talk to ourselves just is so important. When you're like, oh, I'm lazy, then all you do is make yourself feel bad and you foreclose on understanding why you're not doing the thing you want to do. But when you really are curious, not critical, then you say, what's keeping me from going on that walk? Oh, because when I'm walking and I'm listening to music, I'm thinking about things I don't want to think about. What are those things I don't want to think about? I need to resolve those. I need to address those, as uncomfortable as it is. That way, your bad feelings, if there are any, are about the thing you don't want to think about but must, as opposed to personally attacking yourself for what you're eating or doing or not doing. So important. Okay, so I was just talking. How much time do we have left? All right, we have a little bit of time. So Adam had said, I want to eat to live instead of living to eat. How can I stop eating for enjoyment and start thinking about food simply as a way to meet nutritional requirements? Adam, meet nutritional requirements. Not to mock you, but you cannot, you must not see food as meeting nutritional requirements. That sounds so textbookian. I'm not sure bookian is a word, but it is now. Say it with conviction. It becomes a word. So the thing is, I'm putting my fabulous jacket back on. It's a, like a kind of a gray day in LA, so I have the perfect cool jacket to wear. I'm so happy. So look, food is supposed to be enjoyed. The purpose of eating is not only to meet nutritional requirements. It is about enjoying food. If you eat a bunch of tasteless rabbit food that meets your nutritional requirements, you're eventually going to want something yummy. Adam, if you listen to the show, Nicole, who's called earlier a few weeks ago, she called and said that she went to this Greek restaurant and she just couldn't stop herself from eating everything, and she overate and she just couldn't stop herself. And when we talked about it, it became apparent that she's been eating this bland diet food that she doesn't really like. So her first chance to get something flavorful and tasty and yummy, she just couldn't get enough of it. So, you know, and similarly, as we were talking about this with Nicole earlier today, if you think I shouldn't eat this, I'm not going to be able to eat this for a long time. So as long as I'm being bad, I'm going to be really, 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 really bad. And before you know it, you've eaten too much. So enjoying food, many people think enjoying food is some kind of emotional eating. They think like that you're supposed to just eat to live. You're not supposed to enjoy it. Just as Adam puts it, meet nutritional requirements. And so that if you enjoy food, somehow that's forbidden and that's wrong. But really, that's where we want to get to, because when you enjoy it, you trust that you're not going to be deprived of it, you can have moderation and sensible portions without binging on something, without good food, bad food, good me, bad me. Because the problem is when you have something that's on your bad list, like pizza's on a lot of people's bad lists. Oh, I ate pizza, or I ate cheesecake, that was bad, I'm bad. Then you feel bad about yourself. Now you're feeling a negative shame about yourself just because you ate something. And of course, the irony is that when you feel bad, sometimes the best way to make yourself feel better is to eat more, because you haven't cultivated a nice voice. I also want to say that occasionally using food as a pickup if you're tired, or as a reward, or to celebrate, occasionally, is normal. But when eating is your main way of coping, when it is your main coping mechanism, when your first impulse when you're upset or stressed is to head for the pantry, the fridge, or the drive-thru, if you're stressed, upset, angry, lonely, exhausted, bored, then you're in an unhealthy cycle and you never deal with the real underlying problem, the root. Remember, dieting, focusing on food, it is all a weed. It's not the problem. The problem is not the weed. The problem is the root that grows the weed. So the problem is that you're stressed, upset, angry, lonely, exhausted, or bored, and you don't know how to respond to yourself. And the not knowing how to respond to yourself, that's the problem. And when you learn that, everything changes. So remember, if you're feeling triggered by food, not true. You are feeling triggered by some feeling or conflict, and you're using food to resolve that problem. The trigger is not food. The trigger is in the situation. And if you're just focusing on the food part, you're going to miss the true underlying trigger. But when you get to the true underlying trigger and you dig it out, it's gone for good. And that's where you get that freedom I keep talking about, that liberation. And I'm going to pick up here next week when I'm going to talk more about stress eating. And we will talk more about that. And I will give you some strategies on what to do if you're stress eating. So once again, thank you so much for joining me today here on the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am so glad that you joined me. And if you'd like to follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, you can follow me at Dr. Nina Inc. My website, Dr. Nina Inc., DrNinc, has a lot of free giveaways you can get to give yourself some food for thought, change the way you think, sort of expands on what I'm talking about here. If you have any questions, feel free to email me and I'll answer them on air. And I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.